Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf, maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield, adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown, 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor, because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
NFL Network analyst.
I believe the pure progression type system can slow a quarterback down. That's what Chicago did most of the time last year. I feel like it hurts quarterbacks, but I felt like it really hurt Caleb Williams.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
After those first few games of the year, nobody was more dominant across the board than the Super Bowl champs, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It is great to have Kurt Warner back with us for this season, breaking down the Bears. And he's going to be on the call tonight on Westwood One. This segment with Kurt Warner is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency. Call the plumbing professionals. Available 24-7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. It's also brought to you by Great Clips. It's going to be great. Kurt, welcome back to the United States. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I'm excited for tonight and see what we're going to get from these two teams and these two young quarterbacks. But it's good to be back. It's been a great week one, and I'm looking forward to finishing it up tonight.
Before we get to tonight, what quarterback's performance from week one so far has gotten you excited about their season? Kurt, your dime, your dance floor. You get to pick.
I think you have the usual suspects. What we saw, you know, last night with those two guys, I thought Justin Herbert played really, really well. But I'm going to give you a young guy that I thought was really impressive, and that was Michael Penix. I thought he played really, really well. I loved his timing, the way he got the ball out of his hands, made some big-time throws, led his team down with a chance to win the game, even though, you know, one time he was able to get him the lead, and then they lost the lead and was able to bring him back. I mean, I just thought he was really, really impressive in terms of, you know, guys that we may not expect or may not be talking about much after week one. I thought he was really, really good.
We kind of live in a silo. It's bear season is starting up. We're really excited. I know that you've prepped for both teams. What do you think is interesting about Minnesota?
Well, I mean, I think there's – it all starts with J.J. McCarthy. You know, you got a team that won 14 games a year ago, made some improvements, has a bunch of talent. I know Addison not going to be there, but has a bunch of talent that you really do look at this team and say it all hinges on this young quarterback that they committed to after basically, you know, one bit of a preseason game. That there's high expectations for him and this team because of how they're built and what they did last year. And so I think that's the most intriguing thing. Of course, the other thing that you're, you know, going to look at tonight is that defense of Brian Flores and the things that they do and the challenges that they give you is always fun to watch for me as a quarterback and kind of decipher. And it's going to be a great challenge for Caleb tonight.
I'm trying to figure out, Kurt, like whether we should expect more from JJ, who has spent a year under the offense that he's trying to learn and hasn't played, or more from Caleb, who is getting a full, you know, install of a new thing, but at least played a year in the NFL. You know, it's an interesting, different kind of ask for these two guys who are both, you know, under the microscope in tonight's game.
That's a tough question. I guess I would probably, if I was going to answer that question, I would probably just say Caleb, just because, you know, to your point, is we've seen an entire year. He's played an entire year, even though I know it's a new system and it's different from that perspective. But he's played a lot of football. And, you know, he's seen a lot of stuff already. And so I think when I go into this, you know, I'm not going to panic if either of them have struggles. But I guess I reserve myself to say, JJ, he's played a little bit in preseason, and that's all he's played in the NFL. If there's some growing pains early on, I fully understand that, you know, being that he hasn't played. And again, not that that's fair to Caleb, but, you know, when you have 17 games in, you're expected to be better in year two than you were in year one and to have made growth. And I think now that he's in a better offensive system with, you know, better coaches and better players. So I expect him to come out and be better than he was last year. And so that's just my expectation going in.
Kurt, walk me through some specifics for tonight. What are some things that you kind of have on your list that you want to see Caleb improve upon?
Well, the biggest thing for me is his progressions. What I saw in preseason was last year. Let's go back to last year. Last year, you know, we talked a lot. And, you know, the system didn't help him, in my opinion. But I thought he just held the ball and was very indecisive within the system. Even with the challenges that it had, I just thought he held the ball and looked at, you know, one guy or one read way too long instead of processing and getting through things. In preseason, what I liked about, you know, what I saw from Caleb in this new offense was I thought he was really definitive with his first read. That whatever he needed to see, when he saw it, he got back, he hit his back foot, and he let the ball rip. And so that, to me, was an improvement. Okay, great. We're playing faster than we did a year ago. But even in the preseason, when he was forced to go beyond number one, I thought he still struggled to get through his progressions and to do it in a timely fashion and to know exactly where he was going and setting because of what the defense was doing. I thought that process was still slow for him. So I want to see a continuation of him being definitive and getting the ball out because that was really, really good. And then through the course of this year, as he gets more confident and comfortable in this offense, you got to see the processing, you know, move faster. You've got to see him get through the reads that Ben is asking him to make at a faster speed if he's going to have you know, a level of success this year.
Kurt Warner with us here on Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score. Kurt, I don't know if you're aware of the piece that Tyler Dunn put out on Friday, where he spoke to all of the former coaches of the Bears who'd gotten kind of buried in the media over the past 6 months or so. Are you aware of that piece that kind of pushed back on Caleb Williams a bit from Friday and it made its way around over the weekend?
I will say that I haven't read all of it. I saw some excerpts here and there of some of the comments from the coaches. So yes, I saw that, but yeah, I didn't, you know, go into depth with it.
Yeah, no, it's really long, but, a lot of the assistant coaches were angry at the way that it was said that Caleb had nobody telling him how to watch film. Like, and some of the quotes were like, "What? Come on, that's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. You think we don't want to win? Of course we told him what to watch." Like, two or three different coaches being angry about the way that was portrayed. And I thought of you, who was somebody who said there's some personal responsibility. So it'll be interesting. You know, he's got better coaching now, and he's got a really good coach, but Caleb has a tremendous amount of personal responsibility that we all have to hope he's stepping up to right now as this season is underway.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm one of those that, you know, I understand, you know, there can be young guys come in, you know, they've never been taught how to watch film. But, you know, as I said last year, you know, Caleb had access to anybody he wanted to have access to. I mean, we heard about, you know, the players. I think Tom Brady was even a guy that he could have access to anybody he wanted in terms of watching film. If he didn't know and the coaches weren't telling him, he could find ways to learn how to watch film. I also like to think that when you get to that level and you're the number one overall pick, that you've had to have watched film in your entire life. Like, you had to watch film in college to prepare for what I just would think, you know, somehow you had to prepare to be as good as you were in college. And so you should have some of that access. And then I even said it last year, like, it's dumbfounding to me that, you know, if he didn't, and if he asked the coaches, that somebody wouldn't take him into a room and show him, you know, at least break it down. Like, this is what I watch. Now, just because you tell a guy, this is how I watch film, doesn't mean the guy knows and sees the things that you're seeing on the film. It doesn't mean, you know, he really, you know, so like I say, no, he doesn't really know, doesn't have to really know how to watch film. Just because you're telling him what to watch, there's things that you need to see and things that each of us, you know, based on how we play the game, you know, things we have to watch for and things that we have to be familiar with. And that can be different for all of us. And so, you know, even if, you know, he was told the right things to watch, doesn't mean he fully understands how to watch it and hasn't learned his process yet. But I just, you know, to me, that was just a crazy comment overall that I just could never imagine any coach. And I understand coaches are busy and whatever, that if your number one overall pick told you, you know, I don't know how to watch film, that they would just say, well, figure it out, you know, go find somebody. Like that never made sense to me from the get go. You know, and as most of these reports, it's probably somewhere in the middle in terms of, you know, Caleb wanted more and they were busy doing other stuff and didn't have a chance to kind of walk him through everything. But that stuff to me is a little bit crazy because, you know, as a player, I think it's you uncover, you know, every rock that you can. If you don't have something and it's not available right in front of you, you go and try to find somebody that can help you uncover that. And I just believe Caleb had access to numerous people that that could have helped him with that process if he needed the help there.
I also like that you were like, hey, he could call me if he really wants to. I appreciate you saying that last year on the show,
like
Kurt.
We do, like, yeah. We call Kurt.
Yeah, we call Kurt, and Kurt's gonna
I make myself available all the time. Like, any of these young quarterbacks can call me. I mean, any of these quarterbacks, anybody can call me, a coach, a quarterback. I'm available. I'll give you my number. I'm easy to find.
Do they? Do some of them?
No,
call
they
you?
Never do. Nobody ever calls.
They should.
Nobody
call.
Ever calls.
They should. I mean,
no coaches, no players. Yeah, very rarely. I mean, I won't say never. I mean, I have talked to some along the way, but it's few and far between, and it's very rare when I get a call. But yeah, again, I always say that, like, you know, a lot of these guys have guys. Have people that they work with and former, you know, players. You know, you heard Josh Allen doing an interview saying he talks to Peyton Manning all the time. And so, you know, I know I'm not the only one out there, but hey, I'm always surprised that, you know, when I meet a lot of these young guys at the combine and give them my number and connect with them, that I get very few calls along the way.
Well, we're going to hear you on the call on Westwood One tonight doing Color of Bears Vikings. I am going to ask you a question that since we have your number, I can ask you questions about football, which is great. It's the whole point of the bit. But, Kurt, when I watch Justin Jefferson, there's so many hidden yards with him in PI calls. Like, he gets them a lot. You've thrown to a bunch of Hall of Fame receivers. What's the key to that? Like, why is he so good at drawing those?
Well, I think it's twofold with great players. I mean, the first thing about Justin is that, you know, he's a great route runner. He understands how to run routes and attack defenders. I think the second thing is he's so good in and out of breaks that he's constantly causing separation. So when you cause separation, the defenders have to play catch up, you know? So just imagine, you know, you have 2 yards of space between you and the defender, and all of a sudden the ball's coming. That defender can't just play the ball and go, okay, where's the ball going to end up? Let me try to get my hand on it. They're like, I'm 2 yards behind Justin Jefferson. So they get into a dead sprint. And so if Justin just has to slow down a little bit for the ball, boom. I mean, it's obvious when those, you know, those interference calls happen because he's, you know, so far ahead and guys are playing catch up as opposed to, you know, another guy where you're right in his hip pocket and you're playing him the whole way, and now you can play the football. You've got to play the man more often than you play the football with a guy like Justin Jefferson, and it leads to, you know, those situations because you don't know where the ball is. You're just trying to get back and close to Justin Jefferson, and then he adjusts a little bit. He slows down. He does this, and you know, it's an obvious call as you run through him because he's so far ahead of you already.
Kurt, you're the best. We're really looking forward to breaking Caleb down and Ben Johnson's offense down and talking to you every week. You make us smarter, and we appreciate it.
You got it, guys. I look forward to it as well, and enjoy the game tonight.
You got it. That is Kurt Warner. He's going to be with us every Monday. We get to talk with him at 3 o'clock every single Monday. A little bit of news that's been breaking. Get those shovels ready, man, because there is going to be some ground that's going to be broken in before the year is up. There's not a lot of time left for that year to be up.
Letter to season ticket holders from Kevin Warren. It is long, but I'll give you the pivotal paragraph. We are at a pivotal juncture of the Chicago Bears franchise to build a new stadium, our future home in Arlington Heights, which will require zero state money for construction. This is the year to finalize our stadium plans so we can officially bid to host a Super Bowl as soon as 2031. This is the moment to begin moving toward that future, and we want you with us. There's another paragraph later. In evaluating options for a new stadium, the focus of the family has been clear. Build a world-class stadium that requires zero money from the state of Illinois for its construction.
Woohoo!
We are partnering with political, labor, business, and community leaders across Illinois to develop a plan for property tax certainty and a fair contribution toward essential infrastructure that will benefit the entire community. Arlington Heights is the only site within Cook County that meets that standard. It allows us to better serve our fan base and deliver a truly transformative and elevated game day experience. So done, Lawrence, is the dalliance with the city.
But not with Cook County.
No, because he's still, now he wants infrastructure money. But he's now going on the offensive saying zero money for the stadium, zero money for the stadium, which was going to happen anyway, right? So, but he's trying to frame this.
They tried it.
They tried. This is an admission of failure on getting money for the stadium part of it at all.
And now they've got to do the political stuff. Like, there are plenty of people that will tell you that they have not done the job. This is a step in the right direction for that. But they've got to actually make some inroads in Springfield. And they're now going to have to massage all the people from Chicago who are like, I have this, and this will be a good red meat issue for my voters in Chicago that the Bears are leaving.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that they're going to have to do if they want to get this done.
Yeah, it's an interesting there is a lot, but this is now them admitting that they want the infrastructure money, and they'll try to get that with
that's the right play
by dealing in good faith as opposed to trying to bait and switch or hold the state government hostage and say, oh, we'll just stay in Chicago. And none of that stuff was working, as Paris Schutz told us very pointedly. So we can continue to cover it in the coming days, but shovels will be in the ground. I think shovels now will be in the ground before the end of the year, which is what Kevin Warren had promised.
We shall see. Joe Buck is calling the game. How about that? We have the color commentator for Westwood One and the play-by-play man for ESPN. Joe Buck joins us next on The Score.
I don't care who they put on. when Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
George.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Where's that Joe Buck?
Hello, Chicago!
Play-by-play legend for over 30 years.
Nine run at second, two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws, out! And the White Sox have won the World Series. Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
The voice of Monday Night Football.
Here's a little lateral to Williams, and he's down the sideline and gone for a touchdown. And Ben Johnson loving every second of it. And when they run these plays, they work.
Troy and Joe, I want to thank you for all you do for the game. Congratulations, Joe. Welcome to Canton.
Joe Buck.
Who wants to be a millionaire? Which of these rulers came to power when he was just 9 years old? King Tut, Henry VIII, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar.
I'm thinking of Steve Martin singing about King Tut.
Now, when he was a young man, he never thought he'd see
the baby king, and they go to see the boy pee. King Tut. Dun, dun, dun.
I don't think anyone was going to see the boy pee, but you may have made that part up. The boy king. The boy king, I think.
Oh, yeah. I guess
what kind of sick thoughts are you having, Joe?
Sorry, Steve.
Joe Buck Unmasked tonight on Millionaire.
With Spiegel at home.
This is a one-way relationship. I don't think I've ever asked anything about.
On 670 The Score.
I don't care who they put on. I when Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound. All the way up.
Damn right.
That's a good remix, Chris Tannehill. That's solid work right there. You can watch the Bears-Vikings game tonight on ESPN. And since it's a local game, you can also watch it locally on ABC 7. So if you don't have cable or if you don't have the app, you can watch it on Channel 7. Joe Buck now joins us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Hey, Joe, how are you?
I am good. Thank you for yet again blowing me away with a great montage for my introduction.
You know, you deserve it. We love you. And Chris Tannehill, our producer.
That's how you keep me coming back, Matt. That's how you keep me coming back. Because as I said in a previous interview, I really get nothing out of this. So, meaning our relationship.
I know.
Except for texts and phone calls and, you know, me doing you favors. Anyway, go ahead. Yes, what do you want to ask me? Caleb, do you want to talk to me?
No,
Caleb.
No, I want to suggest a role for me in your life. Next time you're on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, okay, I would like to be your phone-a-friend. All due respect to the legendary Steve Horn, okay?
Yeah.
I know what bruxism is. Joe, I know. I would have been able to tell you.
Because he looked it up.
I did. It's grinding your teeth, and I would have been there for you, man. Like, why can I not be your phone-a-friend? Is it the fact that I'm not truly a friend, or is it that Steve is really a lot smarter than everybody?
It's because you don't have a phone.
There's so many options.
I mean, Steve is the smartest guy I know, so that was part one. Part two, the annoying thing is after you get a question wrong on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and you've used your phone a friend, all of your friends who think they knew or lie about knowing what bruxism is come out of the woodwork. It's like, will you shut up? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. So, yeah, no, you're out.
Okay.
No.
Well, you know, I do think of the night when the Cubs beat the Dodgers to go to the World Series, and I was across the street at Murphy's, and
then I met Buck.
That was the night I met Buck. Steve Horn was there too. That's your guy.
I actually walked past Buck that night. Like, he put on his St. Louis Blues cap as I was coming back after the celebration up the ramp. And I was like, oh, Joe Buck, and he's leaving before this party gets out of control. And it had already gotten out of control.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the night that I was walking, because I would put my hat on and leave Wrigley, leave the booth, leave the stadium, walk out to Murphy's, and I was behind two guys that were walking by the Fox compound, and they were like, yeah, Joe Buck, and he hates the Cubs, and yeah, that guy, he sucks, and I'm literally behind them listening to them rip me, and I tapped one of them on the shoulder and was like, hi. And like, hey. And it was a great way to end the broadcast and then begin my night, which ended awfully late over at Murphy's.
Yeah, it did. We shared a cab. I remember it well. I remember it fondly, and that's the last time I was of use.
I mean, that was one of many nights at Murphy's. That was not one of one. That was one of about 10.
And Steve Horn was there, so that's your guy. That's your guy. Is he your guy for football? He was the stats guy. I don't know if he's your guy in the booth. You have one.
He was there when I got married. He was giving me like the vows that I was supposed to remember. I can't do any event without Steve Horn sitting next to me, giving me help. So he used to work for Bob Costas forever. Still does on little one-off things, and then when Fox hired me, he was in the studio for 94-95 at Fox, and when they got baseball in 96, that's kind of his wheelhouse, and he contacted me. He's like, hey, love to come out on the road and help you And we worked it out where he's been with me at every event. I don't think I've ever done a game where Steve has not been with me since 1996.
Wow.
Joe, what if people, as you get ready for this game tonight, what have they told you about the education of one J.J. McCarthy?
In what sense? Like what he's been like around the building? Or
How's it going for him?
I think it's going really well, but I think they're all very reticent about proclaiming him ready. I think it's a really unique circumstance that the Vikings are a 14-win team from a year ago. They've made all these improvements on their offensive line, just like the Bears did, the middle three. They've got Justin Jefferson. They've got two good running backs. They've got Addison when he's available. They've got a defense that flies around on and on and on and on. And it comes down to a 22-year-old who's never taken a real snap in the NFL. And I think they're a little hesitant to say, oh, yep, he's ready. Just watch him. He's going to go light it up. He's got the coach of the year, too, on his sideline, who's becoming known as the quarterback whisperer. And this is the guy they traded up to get. So I think it's fascinating to watch how he comes out tonight. There's all the second layer of it, you know, having grown up here and rooting for the Bears and all of that. But that's going to be the furthest thing from his mind. He's going to be, you know, embroiled in this game and trying to figure out a way to beat the Bears defense. And I can't wait to watch it happen because, you know, he is the difference maker for them to be an average team or be a really, really good team.
And what have you heard about Caleb and Ben Johnson, or what have been your impressions that you've got as you've done the prep and gotten to talk to Ben about how these two guys are working out their relationship?
It felt good. You know, it felt like they're you know, slowly but surely making the strides necessary to get him ready to win in the NFL. And like Ben said, and you guys detail it every day, certainly did last year, to go through what he went through from being the number one overall pick to, you know, losing Shane Waldron on his offensive coordinator gets fired, then the day after Thanksgiving and that clock meltdown, the head coach gets fired, and, you know, the upheaval that was going on behind the scenes. I'm sure there was frustration for Caleb. I mean, there's a lot on him, and I stand next to a guy every night that was the number one overall draft pick. And I know what the pressures are just from hearing the stories from Troy and being in that situation. So it's almost like he gets a mulligan here. And he gets a mulligan with a brand new driver and a brand new state-of-the-art golf ball and a tee that he bought at Golf Galaxy. And he's going to tee it high and let it fly. And I think he's got a guy in Ben Johnson that, you know, gives him the best chance to have success. And just like I said with JJ, I'll say it with Caleb. It's fascinating to see how he gets up and off the ground tonight and if this thing takes off and what it's like after one game.
Speaking of golf, Joe Buck, you played with Jim Nance and your sons. What was that like? Like, it's a play-by-play icon symposium. Please describe for us.
You know, he's Mr. Golf to me and billions of others. So to be out with him on the golf course, his son Jameson is a little bit older than my twins. His son Jameson is a sweet little boy who's a good player. He's got a great swing. My son is just picking up the game. So we were in Cabo at a place called El Dorado. We went out. I kind of did that phone thing. I surprised him with it. He wasn't ready. And, of course, he went right into, hello, friends, and did his thing. We had a great time. We played nine holes with the boys. The most holes I've been able to hang in there patience-wise with my son. We had a great time, and that video went everywhere. And it went everywhere because it's kind of Jim relaxed, which is good to see. I was glad to hang out with him.
Do you connect with the city, considering your family and your grandfather, like when you come here, is there a feeling that maybe you don't have in other cities that you do games in?
I love the city. I was just walking it today with my wife, and we were walking around, and Yeah, I've been here so many times. I would say of the cities I've been in the most in my lifetime, just from being a little boy coming here with my dad, going to Wrigley, you know, doing it over and over in baseball, doing it in the NFL. Yes, my grandfather played for 2 years for Chicago and for Hallis. But, yeah, it's, you know, I'm a Midwesterner, and being here is – it's a good feeling. And being downtown, it's a different downtown than we have in St. Louis. You've got so many great restaurants. Went to RPM Seafood last night, had a great dinner. And just, you know, you just want to walk around this city. It's a great feeling to be able to do that. We don't do that much in St. Louis.
Just moments ago, Kevin Warren, the president of the Bears, sent a letter to the season ticket holders announcing that they are going to go to Arlington Heights. It's done, and it's going to be weird, right? I think it's the right thing to do. They got to have their own place and use their own money to compete with everybody else, but it's going to be a little weird. So tonight is the first of I don't know how many games until they can get out there. I'm sure that'll come up during the broadcast tonight.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I see it from both sides. I think from the people who aren't paying bills and the people who, you know, aren't responsible responsible for payrolls and what have you, you go, man, the Bears leaving downtown Chicago. And then the other side of it is exactly what you said. They've never owned their own building. They were at Wrigley, then obviously Soldier Field. And just to have that opportunity, to have a dome, to have Final Fours, to have a Super Bowl, that kind of stuff is good for the city. So I see it both ways. We'll touch on it if it comes up. Hopefully the game's so good we don't get to any of that stuff. But if we do, you know, we'll kind of state the facts and just leave it at that.
Obviously, the quarterbacks are front and center when it comes to some of the stories that are going into tonight's game. What else is on your mind when you look at these two teams matching up?
Well, I think, you know, within those storylines is a Minnesota defense that, A, Ben Johnson's had a lot of success with. Playing against, averaging over 30 points a game in four efforts against Brian Flores, but that was with Jared Goff and, you know, a little bit more veteran-type presence around a two-time Pro Bowl quarterback, or he was before Ben Johnson ever showed up. So it's a different formula altogether. I think Dennis Allen and this Bears defense, which is deep. I don't know if they've made any declaration with Jalen, if he's going to play in tonight's game. It sure doesn't seem like it with the groin injury. And, you know, you want not only your best, but you want your healthiest when you're trying to slow down Justin Jefferson. But I think we know how he puts his stamp on this defense. And, you know, like he told us, we don't have that premier pass rush guy, but we have a lot of ways to get to the quarterback. They're very deep on the back end, but they may not have their best corner. So, you know, for a guy that likes to play man-to-man defense and get up in guys' faces, I think it's going to look a little different tonight than it will look as the season kind of goes forward.
I've always been struck, Joe, through the years, whenever we get in touch, just how low maintenance you are. Like, yeah, here's my number. Give the producer my number. Have him call me, whatever. Do you do a Zoom from your house for, like, television interviews? And if so, do you have a manicured Zoom background? Like, is there a lot of thought that has gone into it for you or not?
No. You know, I'm a narcissist, so I'll put Emmys back there. I am a huge fan of the movie Jaws, so my wife got me a Jaws poster signed by Spielberg that's back there.
Strong.
A few family photos, and then that's it. But it's gotten to the point where it's like all these different shows, where it's like every stupid bobblehead and knickknack and, you know, jersey and coffee mug and lucky rabbit's foot that somebody's handed them is in the background of the thing. My background has become so muddled with junk that it's starting to look like that, which is disappointing because it drives me nuts when I see those, you know, on every show that's on TV these days.
Well, because Lawrence noticed last time, right? Last time
when we had Costas on, one of the things that I said was pretty amazing about it was his background just had Emmys in the back of it. And Joe, I was because I'm a stan for Costas. Like, I'm an absolute stan.
I'm a stan for Buck.
So the idea of us talking to him and then seeing just a wall of Emmys behind him was impressive to me.
Yeah, I mean, if you got them, show them. I mean, otherwise, they're weapons. They're basically, you should put one under your bed because they've got these sharp points and they're heavy.
Right. And
I'd like to, if somebody breaks into my house, they run the risk of being the first person killed by an Emmy.
Well, and they're psychological weapons, you know? Like, we narcissists, yeah, we need stuff that we can point to remind ourselves that we're okay, you know?
I just do it because of my imposter syndrome and being Jack Buck's son. Those have my name on them, not my dad. So that's why they're back there.
Joe, have a great call tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, as per usual.
You're the best.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah.
That's Joe Buck. You can watch him tonight on ABC7. If you don't have cable, you don't have the app, it'll be on ABC7. You can get the rabbit ears out, and you can just watch it that way.
That's a
dude. Used to swimming with bow-legged women.
The jaw's got Tanny in the good spot right there. But you see, Buck will sit around and talk to you about his imposter syndrome and narcissism and being a lucky bastard. And as you know, Lawrence, from having read the book and taught the book, as you have, dude is not afraid to talk about himself.
He's pretty great. And I'm glad that he comes and hangs out on the show, and he'll be on the call tonight. When we come back, there's something that I heard Kevin O'Connell say that I've been dying to hear any coach say. And it's about tonight's game, and it's about that dude that could cause problems for Caleb. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Spiegel.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
At home.
Good vibes, babe.
Afternoons on The Score.
Just hit some house cleaning items.
Coming up at 4 o'clock, Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, who's already here in studio, are going to join us for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. That's right. We're going to stay put, and we're going to be a part of that show. Immediately following tonight's game, Olin and Pat will have instant reaction. Chuck Swirsky, who was just in the hallways, I believe, being interviewed by NFL Films, he's going to be on the postgame show. It'll be good to have the legend here. Presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Arturo Tires. Then Gabe is going to be on to continue the postgame overnight from midnight until 5 a.m. And, of course, Mully and Haw tomorrow morning. And everything will be back to normal. All of it can be heard here on The Score.
And buy Joe Bag of Donuts, yes.
You might have to buy him one after that game they played yesterday on the Odyssey app. Speaks, I have been, since my time as a reporter, I've always liked the concept of reverse engineering. If you're a defensive guy, are you able to help your offense because you can talk about tendencies and how you view them? I used to get into philosophical discussions about and with Lovie Smith about this very thing. I was watching Kevin O'Connell on his KFAN show that he does with Paul Allen. It's really, really good. And Allen is super excited about this season. He talked about this and talked about someone actually brought the question up. They took like a call, and the caller, like, it wasn't me, by the way. I wasn't the one who called into the show. But someone asked him about having Brian Flores as a resource to make his offense better.
You're always balancing that. And then how does that tie in with what Flo's plans are? We spend, you know, we'll spend a good amount of time later today where, you know, his game plan, at least initially here, is you know, has been brought to life. And I'll talk a little bit about the offensive side. There could be some questions. Some of the best plays we've had on offense, the final touch is, hey, Flo, what do you think on this? Here's what I'm trying to do. What kind of a response do you think that's going to elicit from this hook player? Or maybe it's a formational thing of how they would treat it whether there's a similarity to our defense to somebody else or not, there's just good principles of defensive football that I know Flo is going to bring another layer of information to me. And we do the same thing on offense. There's quite a few systems around the league, really including the one we'll play Monday night, that have some foundational kind of pieces that there's some similar aspects of it, because, you know, I obviously was with Jared Goff in L.A. I think Ben and Jared did some unbelievable things together in Detroit, but a lot of that was a collaboration between those guys to build what Jared was comfortable with and dipping, you know, dipping into his background. And a lot of that is kind of fast forward now to obviously really, really great years for Ben in Detroit. Now he's running his own show there in Chicago. So I think there's some things that you can kind of look at. Now, Flo obviously has experience going up against Ben as the offensive play caller here. So he's got a lot to, you know, carry over from previous wins, losses, you know, the ability to understand what worked, what didn't, and what's the next layer. I think what makes great coaches in this league, regardless of offense, defense, or even in the kicking game, is what are the layers to how you play?
Yeah.
And some people call them wrinkles, some people, whatever you want to call them, but you're just applying minute, tiny little things, change of technique, fundamentals, alignments, assignments that, you know, we like to call it easy for us, hard for them, make it seem to be things that are massive things that need to be talked about by the opposing side and have answers for, but yet our guys can seamlessly do it and play as fast as possible.
There's a lot of good stuff right there from Kevin O'Connell. Not just on using Brian Flores, and I feel you on that as a concept, and that stuff was great, but the idea that what Ben Johnson and Jared Goff did together was a blend of the two of them, and whatever Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams are going to do well together is going to end up a blend of the two of them.
It's fascinating. I'm glad that like we were able to get that in under the wire. By the way, you're hearing the end of the show music.
Good night, everybody.
We're not going anywhere. It's just the end of our show, because
I booked a tea time.
Well, I got some bad news for you.
It's a nice day for it, don't you think, Pat Manley? It's a nice day for it.
It's a good time to get in nine. You can get in nine.
Pat probably already played 18 today. Who are we kidding?
He probably did. That's because your local Ford dealers pregame show is getting ready to get underway. Pat is here. Olin is going to be here. We're going to be here. So that's now awesome. We get the hardcore sexy football.
Let's go!
If you want to get ready for the Bears game, don't go anywhere, because we're coming right back. Your local Ford dealers pregame show starts next.
Thank you.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.